Hey there, this is Bram Kanstein and you're listening to Bitcoin for Millennials. Together with my guests on this podcast, I go on a journey to discover how our current financial system works, why it's flawed, and why Bitcoin is the most relevant technology that you, my fellow millennials, should understand and adopt. But first, a little word from our very first sponsor, the Bitcoin Conference in Amsterdam. In a little over 3 weeks, from October 12 to 14, the most brilliant minds in Bitcoin from across Europe and beyond will come together for 3 days of learning, teaching, and inspiring the Bitcoin community. This will be my very first Bitcoin conference that I'm attending, and I'm eager to learn, engage, and party with other Bitcoiners. What I already know is that the location in Amsterdam is incredible. If you want to join us, use my promo code BFM for 10% of your tickets. That's BFM to get 10% of your tickets. It would be awesome to see you there. Now let's move on to this episode of Bitcoin for Millennials. Today I'm joined by Alessandro Ottaviani. He works in a senior operations role at Amazon during the day, and in the after hours he's been diving deep into Bitcoin. He firmly believes that at the core of the world's biggest problems lies an economic issue, a lack of good money, and this is of course precisely what Bitcoin can fix. Hence the well-known, fix the money, fix the world. In March 2023, Alessandro published a comprehensive article titled Understanding Bitcoin in 2023, which we will go through in this conversation, and I will share a link to it in the show notes. Enjoy this episode and let me know what you think. Welcome, Alessandro.
Ram, and thanks for having me and to have invited me. Very happy to join your podcast.
Yeah, man, happy you're here. Like I just said to you off mic, like this is kind of my own way of sharing my own thoughts, but also hearing what other people think, learn about that, and I really liked your tweets and your article, so I thought to invite you and we can jam on why it's so hard to actually understand Bitcoin. And yes. I love to see that in your article it really feels like it was kind of like an exercise for you to put your own thoughts on paper. So we'll definitely dive into that. But first, a quick check, like to which generation do you belong? Are you a fellow millennial?
Still a millennial, yes. I'm 38 years old. So I'm the upper part of millennials.
Ah, and how did you first become interested in investing in finance?
Firstly, I started beginning of 30s when generally people have some savings. It's getting more interesting in what to invest and what will be safe, less safe. So I started normally with ETFs or stocks or bonds. And in 2017, I get to know about Bitcoin. I think as 99 or 90 plus percent of the people, it was all in 2013 or 17 or 21. It was for the number go up, because the stock was going up, and get interested. After the crash in 2018-19, I kind of dismissed it, I think as many people. Then I started again in 2020, and from the end of 2020 till now, I started to study deeply Bitcoin. Also, one of the key moments was the call between the podcast between Breedlove and Saylor, then the book The Bitcoin Standard, and from that has become one of my most important hobbies, to study Bitcoin.
Awesome. And what was the thing that first got you interested? Like what was the hook there?
Firstly, yes, as I said, the people were talking about this, and the price was going up. Then related about money, and I also realized this also is explained in my article. One of the reasons why it's so hard to understand Bitcoin is even qualified people who have good careers, great studies, they have a very poor knowledge of money. Me myself, I would never really deeply question what is money, where money comes from, what is good money, what is not. And this was the key question for me. As Robert Breedlove said, is the question of the question, is the biggest question in our world.
Yeah, I think it's very interesting that, and it's fun to hear that you're also like a fellow millennial. Like I think I said that in one of the past episodes as well. Like we never learned about this, right? Like it just existed. Especially in the western part of Europe, everything was going okay, we had no problem, there was we just it just worked basically,
it just,
right?
yes,
And yeah,
you
and
grip
so
for,
that's
you
why
get
I
for
think,
granted as oxygen or
yeah, exactly.
gravity, exactly, yes.
Yeah, exactly. So it just works and you never really think about it. And I think same as you, like early 30s, I realized that I had no clue how the system that I was participating in actually worked. And that's kind of also where my journey began. So I wanted to ask, like, what do you think is the biggest thing that people don't understand about the financial system, and why should they actually understand it? But perhaps you could answer for yourself, like, what didn't you understand before, and what do you understand now?
What I was thinking before, as you said, it was given for granted that it should be okay, it is okay, or it is good that the money are coming from the government and that money should come from the government. In reality, what people should understand, and it's hard to understand being in the system, is that money should not be coming from the government, but should come from a free market based on different properties. And if it was free choice, we would never choose as society this kind of money that can inflate as much as the people, as much as the central bankers want. And this is a bad form of money. Linked to this, one big thing that people should understand is that there is not good inflation. The only good inflation is deflation. And this is hard to understand because there are many pushbacks.
All right. And when you say deflation, you mean through technology, eventually
yes,
everything becomes cheaper?
From the history of money as society, we always chose as the first property is scarce. So the asset that is harder to produce. Many people think that still gold was used mostly for its utilities or because it's nice to have, brilliant. That's not true. For sure, it should have some utility at the beginning to be chosen as money. But the first characteristic was that it was scarce. It was scarce to produce. And
yes.
Every year increase only one or between 1 and 2%. Most of the gold we are using is still the gold that we're using in ancient Rome or Greek or in ancient China. Also, it's durable and other properties.
Yeah.
And if we choose the scarcer asset is the one that we choose. So finite supply or the most scarce should be chosen. While now we have a system where the year-over-year average increase is 7%, something that is really conflict with money. On this,
yeah.
As Jeff Booth wrote in his book, The Price of Tomorrow, if every year we become more productive, more technological, also my job in Amazon is also to improve the performance, become better. So if it is, the money is scarce and we increase with technology, the price should go down year over year.
Yeah.
Overall, for sure, there could be some price that go
mm-hmm.
up or down based also on the supply, but the overall trend should be a deflation.
And would you agree if I say that that is also kind of an example of proof of work, in a sense that when you make something better or more technological advanced, that it actually democratizes access to it and therefore the price goes down, right? So there is work done.
Yes.
And something comes out on the other end, right? And when you compare that to creation of money by banks, there's no work done, basically.
Correct. In fact, the proof of work was always at the beginning of something to become money. Also, the Yap in the Yap Island, the Raystone, everything, or Agri Bird beads in Africa, or whatever we use, salt. It was always hard to produce. And it also
yes.
meaning the sum of the effort made by the people to produce. Otherwise, it will not be money. Because also, money is one of the best definition is a tool to transfer value across time and space. And time is very important because you want to the hours that you put into work, you put in an asset that you want that it keep the value year over year.
Yes.
The problem,
and
as you said, is the problem, as you said, is in no problem. Actually, we are lucky in West Europe and in the West world, let's say, that inflation is still not so high to recognize these bugs or these problems. But if you see in Turkey or in Argentina, where inflation is more than 100%, it's clearly it's more clear which is the problem. And that's one of the reasons why still in the Western world, it is hard to believe. In the last 1 or 2 years, there are more people interested because inflation spiked to 6, 8, 10%, but it still is not affecting our daily life. Mm-hmm. Not and, as much as in other countries. Sorry.
Yeah. And so when you say, you know, save that energy across space and time, would that also be your explanation of what a store of value is? Because that's a term that a lot of people use for Bitcoin, right? A store of value.
Yes, exactly. Firstly, for store of value is across time. For money to be a good form of money, should have a store of value, medium of exchange, and unit of account, meaning transferring value across time, space, and scale. But at the moment, for the first step for Bitcoin will be to be biggest store of value, and is exactly what you said. We work. We save, we generate more than work, we generate value for the society, and for that we get something in return, and we should use what we have got back. We should put into savings, on into something that we know that it will not decrease value over time, or even better, it should increase the value.
Yeah, so because you put work or energy into a job or a venture, and you agree with the person who buys or who hires you or buys your product or buys your service, what the price of that input is, price in the numbers of the currency that you use,
yes,
right? That should represent that energy, quote unquote.
Exactly.
And conceptually, you want to be able, if you don't want to spend the energy when you get your reward, if you don't want to spend it on something for yourself, then you should be able to save that energy in time to the point where you actually want to spend it. And again, conceptually, that should be the same amount of energy represented in that future point in time. Yeah. But currently, that's not the case, right?
That's not the case. And we're experiencing in the last years where everyone, mm-hmm. unless got a, especially if you work for a company, unless you got a promotion or a big increase in salary, became poorer. Also because not only inflation, but normal goods, like basic life goods, like grocery, are became much more expensive than 7 or 8%. I think everyone is noticing this.
And so how, before we go to Bitcoin, how does the... How do the flaws of the current money tie in with that? How do you see that?
The problem
because the
is,
money is broken.
Yes, yeah, you said that. The problem is inflation changed meaning in the last 100 years. At the beginning, it was inflation meaning inflationing the money supply. And now if you ask, because it's the first or the biggest cause of the inflation in terms of prices. There are also videos from... Hayek, the other, mm-hmm. I forgot the name, but he was saying also exactly the inflation, the biggest cause of inflation is monetary. So if you ask general people, normal people in the street, you ask which is the cause of the inflation, they will say short of supply, war on Russia, or many other things. But in reality, it's because the money increase. And especially from 2020,
yes.
They increase in US, they printed $4 trillion. And second is the expansion of money due to fractional reserve banking. With fractional reserve banking, also with the banks, firstly, they had to keep only 10% of their reserve in the bank, and now even 0% is not linked to anything. Money increased and expanded. And if you have the same service and same goods, but the same, but with a 10% more money supply, it's inevitable that the price increase. And even worse, for the medium low class, it increases even more because the people who have assets like houses or stocks very likely will do better than those who live paycheck to paycheck. Mm-hmm. So it's not even increasing the prices, but inequality, and the rich become richer and the poor become poorer.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point, right? Also, the the difference between price and value, right? Because a cucumber is still a cucumber, and a bread is still a bread, and a coffee is still a coffee. And right, so the value of these things, basically what I can get out of it is the same, but the number in the currency goes up.
Yes.
Right, so that's the price. And I think, actually yesterday I was in a discussion also on Twitter with someone with, and I find it very interesting also, you said that in the beginning, there's so many people who I find, or they look like they are very intelligent. So I was in discussion with a guy, like some senior engineer somewhere at some company. I didn't know him, like it was a random Twitter discussion. But he looked like a super smart, intelligent guy. And I tried to make it as simple as, like, you know, there's 1,000 units of a money and you own one. And tomorrow there's 2,000 units of the same one in money and you still own one, which means in total, your one, just, you know, your one unit is worth less, right? That's not about price, it's about the worth in the total thing.
It's values.
And when you then go back to, for example, if the cucumber is still cucumber, right, which costs X amount of energy to produce, right, there's certain energies also could be another word for value, right? Like there's value that goes in and value that goes out in the production of a cucumber. That is the same, but because the numbers are diluted, right, or the value is diluted, the number in price has to go up to represent the same value, you know, of the cucumber in that sense. And I tried to make it as stupid as possible, like this, and I don't even know what his answer was, but it was just so, he was like digressing and like ignoring and saying all these other things. And sometimes I think what I find difficult is that how I like to operate, like my growth mindset point of view, is just know that I don't know everything. I know that I'm really interested and I'm happy to say when I don't know something, right? But I sometimes feel when I talk about Bitcoin and money that people take such a stance and have such big arguments as to Bitcoin is a fraud or the crypto or the whatever they say, it doesn't really matter. But then I feel like, okay, I know my time that I spent into this, right? I can honestly say 10,000 hours plus.
Okay.
20,000 maybe even.
20,000.
In 10 years.
In 10 years. Okay,
in 10 years, I think. Yeah. So.
Impressive.
And I still agree that I don't know everything.
And people.
Well, you only need 250, but.
No. Yes. Yeah.
But still, right? So.
I would say, I would say 1,000, but if I say 1,000, then many more people will just, okay, don't have 1,000 hours. On your, you're referring to the article, right? For this 250, at least the basic.
Well, but also, the 250, but to finish my point, like what I think is that it's such a subject that you have to investigate and discuss about, you know, and what I feel, and then I'll get to that question, why is it so hard to understand Bitcoin? Because that is in your article as well. I find it very difficult to talk to these people because I want to help them. I want to show them. I want to show them what I learned, right? But they take such a counter stance based on, and this is an assumption, but I do really feel like that when I am in a discussion like that, just not enough research to actually understand what their argument is, right? It comes from like this emotional place. It's not like a rational conversation. And maybe then to get to
yes,
what we...
Yes, I totally agree.
Article.
I think everyone feel the same. And I think there is a common path among Bitcoiners. I saw also some meme related to this. So firstly, I say everyone gets Bitcoin at the price they deserve. So if they don't understand now, very likely they will save in Bitcoin when it will be 500K, 600K, 700K. It's not our fault. It's their fault if they didn't listen to us first. Second, I think when everyone starts to, mostly, understand Bitcoin is trying to proactively educate other people or trying to orange pill other people. And then he got a lot of pushback because also it's also very counterintuitive. We will see in the article. You have to say that money is broken, and the actual system is not working. You have to understand economics, technology, energy use, mathematics, politics. No one before deciding to study Bitcoin is knowledgeable on all of these topics. And you have to be knowledgeable in each of them at least a certain level in order to understand the whole package.
Yeah.
So now I changed. There was one of the meme of 2021 was during, it was still a bull run, and it was like Christmas evening or Christmas lunch for 2021, and they were saying no one is interested if you have a new girlfriend, which are your job, which your promotion. We should keep the conversation laser focused on Bitcoin, just about Bitcoin. But then I started to change the mindset because if there is not a curiosity, I wrote also in the article, if there is not a curiosity from the person, I don't think we should be so much proactively discussing about Bitcoin. For me, I know if someone is asking me, people or colleagues or friends in Twitter, they know that I'm proposing Bitcoin. And I think they see from my post that it's not just because I wake up or I read one book or something and I'm proposing. There is a big no. Good enough knowledge, let's say, at least to have some statements. And I am also more, if they are interested, they can they come with a question, and I should be ready to answer. And this also why maybe the is the biggest reason why I wrote the article, because I was expecting firstly a bigger bull run that was in March, and then now we are stable since the last 4 months. And in case someone was asking me more about Bitcoin, I decided to decide this article also for me to structure all the thought, but also to give him half an hour reading. This is what you should know basically about Bitcoin. And at the end, there are the choices. I don't know if you saw. If you decide to deep dive, then I will be very happy to guide you, tell you the material and discuss. But if there is not this curiosity, I had several talks where I saw a lot. We're talking about energy. It's like a waste of energy and time for us, because some, if they are not curious, they are not willing to challenge the actual system. There is no chance to understand. They understand Bitcoin at this point of time. Maybe they will understand in 2 years, in 4 years. It's like the internet at the beginning of the 90s. Very few people, a small elite of people, understood that how big it would have been, because they decided to deeply study internet at that time. And now the most stupid guy in the street, if you ask which is the biggest invention of the last generation, they will say internet.
100% agree. All right, let's take the jump to your article. I think the second point, so it's six big kind of like sub points in total that make up your article, and I'll link to it in the show notes. And I think the second point is about why it's so hard to understand Bitcoin. So I wanted to ask you, what are some of the key concepts that people find difficult to understand Bitcoin?
Okay, first, so new technology, if you study that is a new technology. If you study history, it's clear every new technology, it was hard to understand. Second, it's so much multi-topics. There I listed at least 12 different topics. Yeah. And as I said before, no one has the knowledge to be able to make some educated statements, because I had to study money. I studied what is the blockchain at a basic intermediate level, but I should know what is the blockchain, at least how it works. Then you should know also about mathematics, something about mathematics, energy usage, and so on. Third, many, they are in the trap that they think, okay, there is Bitcoin, there are 15,000 altcoins, then there should be another one, new Bitcoin. And no, it's not only a new technology, but it's something special. It's like almost perfect new technology. Then there is the link of mathematics. You should know with big numbers. We are good with a million, billion, with trillion start to struggle, but also with quadrillion and quintillions, our brain, if we don't do deep thoughts, we are struggling to understand. And maybe the biggest is, as I said before, is the poor knowledge of economic and money. And that, last but not least, is so much counterintuitive, and there are so many misconceptions. In fact, I don't blame really the people if they say they dismiss at the beginning. I think every Bitcoiner at the beginning dismisses it. Like, what's that? Like, it's a joke. Especially if you start in 2011, 13, 14. But even
I
few
bought
years ago. Yes.
at 3,400 and I sold
And you
at
sold.
4,000.
Okay, but still a good. But okay.
Would have been better now, but yes, agree. So I it's not even a flex anymore because it's but I think it's just a nice example. I also had not these, but I bought for Bitcoin, I bought headphones, which eventually were, I think, $8,000. And they already broke in the meantime, so I don't even have those headphones
Anymore.
anymore.
Yeah, but this is part of the process, and no one who would have bought so early. You need at least 2 or 3 years from the moment you start to the moment you become a Bitcoiner. At least it will take 2 years. So nothing. I think to everyone who started to learn in 2013, 16, 17, there was also not so much material, and the risk that he would have failed it was higher than now. But now I think. Now there are few, we are few, but there are people who propose about Bitcoin. So 5 years from now you can regret, oh, I should have bought in 2000. Yes, because at least every person knows someone who is interested in Bitcoin.
Yes, I 100% agree. I think I don't know where we are, but yeah, I would agree with what you say. Like everyone knows at least one other person who's into Bitcoin. I would agree with that. And even when I say that, I still find it very interesting that we are at such an early adoption still. Like, I don't know how many people, maybe 100, 200 million people actually have Bitcoin, you know, like
Yeah,
it's just
but
so small.
I will consider even less. Like I also hear people, oh, I orange during the taxi driver, I orange peeled the taxi driver, and he opened a wallet and he put $100 into Bitcoin.
Yeah,
This for
that's
me
not
is not. I
the orange
think
pilling. No.
for people who have a
Well, what is
good
orange
estimate,
pilling? That's a great question.
yes. I think to have a significant amount of your savings in Bitcoin at least. Otherwise. At least 10, 20%.
So
And
moving from the broken system into the superior system.
exactly. And I assume that they are, for me, I calculate 0.00175%. So around 100K, 100,000 people who knows enough to make conscious decision. I don't think we are many more.
Yeah, very interesting. I find it fascinating to think about what is going to happen with these ETFs. Like in my last episodes, we talked
Yes.
about the ETFs that are launching, and I think the marketing machine will be in overdrive, I want to say. And BlackRock is really going to educate the market, I think, for us, at least to some degree. And then people will hopefully also discover that you probably rather want to have, you know, the real asset versus
Yes, I
the paper
totally agree.
version. But that will that I think that will give it a great launch pad. But yeah, very it's very intriguing to think about 100,000 people that actually understand it.
Yes, I think we are not maybe 200,000. I don't think we are 1 million. And also, if you go to, I went to 2 conferences, and there are also there people who, when you talk, okay, they are interested in Bitcoin, but also for me, if they're interested also in altcoin, meaning in a significant way, it means that they really didn't understand completely Bitcoin. Back to the ETF, I'm also agree with you, and I see also in the Bitcoin community there is a very different opinion. For me, it's one of the most positive reasons news about this Bitcoin ETF, and is inevitable on the adoption. Because I think we need to see. Firstly, we need to realize that the people coming from for the censorship-resistant reason, or crypto anarchist or libertarian, the percentage in the Bitcoin world is much higher than the percentage in the real world.
Yes.
So most of the people coming in the real world will not come because they want to have something that they can own. They will come because they want to save their money and they want something that is going up in the long term. And regardless of what we do as Bitcoiner, the average person in Italian is called Mario Rossi, like in the problems. In German is Max Mustermann or Joe Smith in US. I don't know in Netherlands which name they use. Will not buy Bitcoin because we say them to buy, but buy Bitcoin because the financial advisors will tell them to put 1, 2, 3% in Bitcoin. And the financial advisor will never say that. So far, there is not an ETF. And so far, there are not companies who are leaders in the world who move in that direction.
Yeah.
And there are also risks, but the risks that I see are technically possible, but practically for me are not real. Like that I don't believe that BlackRock would firstly or fork or make paper Bitcoin. There are audits, they have a great reputation. So I don't believe that they will sell more Bitcoins.
I fully agree. I think, and that's what I really love about Bitcoin, it's ultimate transparency. So you can try to mess with it, but it will come back to you because it's just a public ledger.
10 times
and
more.
And you, exactly. So I agree with you. Like I also agree that BlackRock in many ways is very dubious, you know, institution in that sense. But I also agree, I think British Hoddle said that on the first episode. You know, it's inevitable because they understand, like they really understand.
Yes.
You know, I think Hoddle also said in another video, you know, do you think that there's like one or two people at BlackRock like working on this? No, there's 100 people who got the mission. This is your life mission. You have to understand Bitcoin inside out and figure out what this is. And they know, like they understand. They really understand. And it's like you found the mother load of gold in what is it, California, before the gold rush started. Good.
Yes, you found.
And they know there's gold. And they are a financial institution. Their whole way of making money is by making money for others. And it's the perfect way to, you know, even though we know that money is broken, that we believe that, you know, I agree with you. We are not going to change that now.
Yes,
but if we can show, and if it's going to be known that Bitcoin is the best asset ever invented in the world.
Totally agree. It will never
then
happen.
That's enough.
It will never happen that we move from this system to everyone owning a wallet in one shot.
No.
And as you said, it's a path. Firstly, people maybe will buy in ETF, then will be interested in Bitcoin. Then maybe they will open wallets, and some not. And this also should be okay because it looks like if you don't own your Bitcoin, then it's absolutely not okay. For me, this is depend of the person. Because also the banks of hundreds of years ago, they were created also to own the value of one person. Maybe some people, especially older people, they are not okay to own something by themselves. And if they send the transaction to the wrong address, money are gone. And if they lose the private key, money are gone. Maybe Bitcoiners at the moment, they are okay, but they cannot expect that everyone is okay.
No.
And another important point, then we can move to another point, is many there's they say yes, but if they buy a Bitcoin ETF, it's not a real asset, and they lose the properties of sending Bitcoin 24/7 and speed of light. So technically, it's correct, but the Bitcoin narrative as medium of exchange is not there yet. I think using Bitcoin as medium of exchange for the normal person in the West world, or even the merchant, from now in the next 5 years, it will not make any difference, or a very small difference, unless you are interested into Bitcoin and new technology, or you want to try new thing. But the difference will not make difference. And I also understand people saying it's too volatile. I have credit card, so we are not there yet. So not using it as a medium of exchange, for me, at this point of time, is not that relevant. The most important is store of value. And the good thing, people who will buy through BlackRock are holder, are not speculator. They will not move according to the market. Very likely they will put 2% of their portfolio in Bitcoin and they will leave it. And this is how yes. people should do.
I agree. I also think that I forgot his name, but the ex PayPal CEO who has a Lightning company, I just saw a video of him today. Yes. And he talks more about, and I also agree, I'm not sure if we are ever going to actually pay with Bitcoin, yeah. but I do believe, and I think that's what he mentioned in that video of today, that Bitcoin is the ultimate settlement layer, which means that, for example, now if I pay you through my bank, then the number on both our bank accounts changes, right? But that does not mean that your bank actually has that money, right? That comes in like a few days later,
yes.
through all these different layers that I'm not, I don't even know, but I know that it works yeah. like that. And with Bitcoin as a base layer for transactions, you can actually have that final settlement. So if I even send you through Lightning, I'm from America and I send you dollars and you get those in euros, then they're still dollars and euros, but underlying the value that I want to send you is actually at your bank at that moment.
Oh, okay.
Right? So the final settlement is then actually there. And so I think whether it's called dollars or USDC or euro or something else, that doesn't really matter in the future. Like, I think that even that base layer, it's like we have built what was tried to build on gold, right? With the money yep. that represented a certain amount of gold. But then actually, in a digital world, fully transparent, fully auditable, all these things. So actually the perfect asset-backed money system that can be used anywhere in the world at the speed of light, almost for free. That's, I think, for now at least, my my biggest thought as to where it's going to go.
I think,
and I don't know if we're going to buy the cucumbers in Satoshi's or
it's
Bitcoin.
A good statement. And I think this is also what the common statement from people who really are very focused on the part of store of value. I would say if Bitcoin is not coming store of value, then all the hours I spend, then there's something wrong in all the hours that I spend, because I think it's inevitable that
I
will
said
become
the exact same.
Store
I,
of value.
Yes.
Medium exchange is also very hard to predict because technology is going ahead so much that one, let's say Bitcoin reaches store of values, we will have other tools, other technology for facilitating paying in Bitcoin that it's very hard to predict. So for me, it's still a question mark. It could be because it helps all, like gold, doesn't have the properties as medium of exchange. It's not divisible. Portability is also not easy. You have to hide while with Bitcoin is different. So it has all the properties, but it's not sure. And we will see. And it's not the main topic at this moment. Also.
Yeah, I fully agree. So last part of understanding Bitcoin and why it's so hard, like what are some of the ways to explain Bitcoin to people who are new? Like what's your go-to few sentences here?
Well, the few sentences, we will need more, but firstly is to start with how the system that it is, with the inflation that we have now, I make this example and saying that is related to supply of money, and then I explain the property of money, and then I ask the person what is money, where money coming from, and even more important, if the government is printing money, where these monies are coming from, and many they are not replying. But for me, even if in few sentences, I always highlight that it's very hard, and they need 100 hours to just scratch the surface, and 250. This also is a very important topic. It's like the entry level is very high, and if the person is not willing to spend 250 hours to try to understand Bitcoin, then unfortunately his intellect at this moment is not fit to understand it. Similar to the marathon, everyone who want to run a marathon in let's say 3 hours 15 minutes, understand that for sure he has to get some information from the trainer, but then he needs to do the train. People can guide you, but then
you have
need
to
do
the, work.
The training. You have to do the work.
Yeah.
And the
yes.
same with, but with Bitcoin, this is not understood. That is what, the for me, the biggest message we have to pass.
Yeah. It's such an amazing philosophical concept, I also think. Like that
yes.
the actual invention is called, I think the main invention of Bitcoin, the proof of work, I think is one of the main things. And that comes back in everything. Because,
yes.
you know, back in the whole, in the entire concept of the fact that you have to do the work, but also understand what we talked about. If you currently do the work, like your job or your, or, you know, or you have a company, you do the work, but you don't get energy in return that is represented, you know, where that work or that value is represented. Like this, so the proof of work comes back in
everything
here.
Many different ways. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. I love how, yeah, I don't know. For me, it makes me smile. Like that,
no,
that
no,
for me, that makes the invention of Bitcoin so, it's a beautiful thing. It's amazing.
It goes also to sociology, politics, philosophy. So it's a mix of topics. That is why also your podcast is related, dedicated to millennials. I think it should be to the upper part. People in the 20s are, I think it's harder for them because they have different maybe priorities. But mostly, I think when you reach 30s or beginning of 30s, you start to have some savings and maybe you also search other or hobbies or something to research on top of your work. And I think that is the portion of population that it should be the first goal for us.
Yeah, I hope so. That's also, I think, one of the main drivers, you know, for these people, but especially for their families also, right? Like, I think,
yes.
I think this is for us the best opportunity to actually create and store our wealth and, to give that also to our families. So that's really my main driver as well.
Also for the society in general, like the biggest problem we have in the world, or one of the biggest, is monetary, and because the money is broken. If we contribute to change the monetary system, to upgrade and to have a better monetary system, as we lower our time preference, we become more long-term oriented, the whole society improve, and is the process of civilization, as it was since thousands of years. So Bitcoin can enable this. It gives a great feeling to wake up and spend portion of your time for this purpose. That's also the magic things. There is
I
no
agree.
Marketing team, no engineering team, no CEO. Mm. And now we are in a podcast. I wrote an article, YouTube videos, and you are doing a podcast. Nonetheless, there is no company behind. That's also a magic thing. You, as me, and as many others.
Yeah, I love that thought. And I 100% agree. It's a very... At one point, it just became an intrinsical motivation. I got an intrinsical motivation to share this with others just like you. And maybe this ties into the next question where I wanted to ask you about, like, what are common misconceptions, you know, and how does that affect people's understanding of Bitcoin? But some people say, like, oh, it's a Ponzi, or you are invested and you want to get this other person invested, and that's why you talk about it. And I love saying this, but I think that this is a very simple and stupid rebuttal, actually, of my honest my honest interest, my honest motivation, the fact that I spent so much time in understanding this, challenging myself, understanding that at some points I'm not smart enough or I didn't learn about this before, like all these things, like it's also a path of self-reflection in a sense, you know? So I think it's like, how do you say that? Like it's they are discounting my intelligence and my motivation in a sense, you know, just because they cannot handle let's call it new information, because you can still decide if you care about it or not, right? But that's how I then feel, you know, like if you share about this and people say, oh, you're just trying to get the next guy in. And then I just think like, yeah, that's such, but, it's such a pity. Like I pity
yeah,
that
I think
almost.
The same. I totally think the same because you are surrounded also from think people who are intelligent. They have a good job or they want to do good for the life, for the families.
Yes.
But still they are not getting it. And I think something that I also feel it's a pity, but also firstly, let's think, 100 years ago, when the first cars were produced, the whole world was against. When electricity came, the same, it was against. When internet came as well, they were saying it was for criminals. So it's unfortunately
you
it's
to
the same
Bill
process.
Gates video in your article.
Exactly. Yeah. How it was mocked by, so this is. This is the first. The second point I want to say is the biggest misconception. I think people are saying it has not intrinsic value. It's not backed by anything.
Yeah.
And these are legitimate legitimate points, because if you think in our system, you think that is backed by the government and the value is because of the government is giving to the money.
Yeah.
But for me, it's different if they are curious or if they take as a statement. If they take as a statement, I learned to stop the conversation, because the worst thing you can do in about Bitcoin, the biggest mistake is to have an opinion on Bitcoin not having known about Bitcoin. So if they use as a statement, for me it's like gone, like this person,
you don't know, you don't know enough.
Yes, exactly. Unfortunately,
which is okay, by the way.
Yes,
which
it's
is
okay.
Totally okay, because we were there.
We are so early, also. We are so early, yes. So, but instead, if it is as a question, because I also challenge, I also was asking, okay, but it's not backed by anything. How can it be money? I think for you, you had the same question at one point, but then you studied and you overcome. And they say the other biggest portion, and I think this is so little highlighted, is the Bitcoin energy usage. This is the biggest, on top of non-intrinsic value and money, the biggest misconception, because not only is different, but it's the opposite. So I always say all environmentalists will be in favor of Bitcoin because they have to, but they don't know that because their knowledge on Bitcoin is so poor that they don't allow them to understand that they should be in favor, but they will be in favor. We have seen now in 2023 many more articles, KPMG accounting report, also another academic article. I follow Dennis Porter, Daniel Batten, Troy Cross.
Daniel
they are
Batten,
great.
Yeah.
Yes, but
I am going to reach out to Daniel because I want him on to talk about this, because I 100% agree with you that energy, like, I find energy usage also important, as anyone, why not?
Yes.
I don't know if it was in the KPMG article or another one, but the Bitcoin network uses as much energy now as all the tumble dryers in the US alone.
Less,
yes. And also the traditional banking system has more... has a worse impact on the environment than Bitcoin.
True.
It's now also, I saw a tweet today of Daniel Batten as well.
This is this is the first step. Going to the deep is which energy is using. That is excess of energy.
You have to connect it. You have to connect it to why is it so important, right? So I think there's two factors here. So,
True.
Well, what if it uses less energy than tumble dryers in America? Like what value does Bitcoin actually have, right? You go into another dimension of Bitcoin, which is the money again, right?
Yes, and that's why you should also know Bitcoin. But even then, at one point, the Bitcoin network will become carbon negative. So they will... produce Bitcoin and clean up the environment. It's something that is blowing up. It will increase, it will make the companies who use renewable energy more profitable. Troy Cross made a great example on this. He said, imagine you are a bakery and you have a customer that can buy any amount of bread at the end of the day or during the day at discount price. So you will become more profitable because you will not have waste anymore. And this is something mind-blowing. It doesn't exist any other technology. Together with the methane emissions reduction. So Bitcoin is, we will produce No, not, not we will produce Bitcoin. All this is another misconception. We will secure the network, and the miners are getting the reward in Bitcoin. At the same time, we will clean the environment. So the total emission will decrease versus not using Bitcoin. That will be the end point. The trend is clear. And
that will be a great day. Yeah, I love how we can now see that. I even love it more that there's people who are actually building this and doing this and showing this to us that it's actually the case. And I think it's such an ironical way how fixing the money actually shows that you then also fix the world, which shows that if the more broken the money is, the worse the world is, actually. And so I think if we talk about fix the money, fix the world, this is one of the top things. If we fix the money, we actually also fix all the
money.
Pollution, all the false incentives for all these commercial companies, or even downstream in culture and people spending their money on stupid
focusing
stuff,
their time
nothing
and energy.
Nothing worthwhile.
Or having short-term thinking. In fact, I totally agree. It's great to see that there are people around the world, and now we are more and more thinking the same.
We're not crazy. Well, a bit
no,
crazy,
yes,
maybe.
No, we can. Then I come back on this. On the pollution and the rest, many people are saying, yes, but money is just something, a tool. Important is company, politics, society, and educator, teachers. I say, no, it's everything is about money. With better money, we will have better citizens, we will have better teacher, better politicians, better society. Yeah. So it's the most important thing. And back to we will be more. Why I'm confident it will become store of value is it is really impossible to unlearn Bitcoin. I really cannot believe how a person...
Yes.
Reach your level of education, or even mine is definitely less than yours or other Bitcoiners you will invite in the stage. It cannot be possible that is going back to the is really no, and so that's why the number can only increase. Also, we are all young, relative young. I'm not so young anymore, but relative young, let's say. So
yes, I will be talking about this for the next 40 years. But
yes,
right?
Exactly. So
yeah.
If everything goes well, we will live 40, 50 years. Exactly.
Yeah. No, but I think that's a great point. And also, I've sometimes said that as well. Like, eventually, Bitcoin is very simple. Very straightforward. Like it's such a crazy, rationalistic thing. If you go through it, you know, despite like there's obviously this is an invention and new technology, but from I'd say core principles, like because it's ultimately transparent and you can audit it 24/7, 365. Anything done on top of that is that as well.
Well, yeah.
Right? So, and because the current money system is not that, anything built on top of that is obscure,
also
vague, not controllable, you know, so you can do anything, right? And I think people in essence are they want to preserve themselves, right?
Yes.
I want to die after you, right?
Yes.
And if I get an incentive, because it doesn't really matter where it comes from, but if I get a certain incentive to misuse the current system to better myself, then of course I'm going to do that, right? Of course people are going to do that. It would be, it's so naive to think that people do not do that, right? Just because you wouldn't do that or think you wouldn't do that, by the way, does not mean that other people don't. And there's countless examples. Actually, I talked to Nico Yilk. I don't know if you know him.
I know.
He's a financial journalist. I've been on his podcast and he told me about, there's this little book. And actually, there was a fun tweet from the author of the Bitcoin Standard about the Bitcoin Standard being the number one on Amazon, and the number two book, or it has more reviews, it's called 500 Crashes or something, like I probably say this title wrong, but it doesn't really matter. But it's a book about all the financial crashes, I think, in England in the past 200 years. So in the past 200 years, there were so many crashes that there's a book.
Okay. Right?
And I find that just,
fascinating
because it's still the same system. It's still broken. There's still new people that partake in this system and abuse it just because they have the opportunity. And it's not... it's not that they are bad people or they do it maliciously. Like anyone would probably do that if you eventually end up in that position and you would use the fact that most people don't even understand what money is. Like it makes a lot of sense. But again, if we fix the base layer and the base layer is 100% transparent and up to date and we see everything, then anything built on top will have to behave according to the rules of the base layer. And
totally
that I also think what separates Bitcoin from crypto in that sense, because there you follow the rulers and not the rules, basically.
Yeah, one of the misconceptions is also they think that Bitcoin is part of crypto, but it's two different worlds. But we will reach at one point where I think it's normal, common... process. You learn about Bitcoin, then you're interested also about some crypto, then altcoins, then Web3, NFT. At one point, you recognize that the only thing that matters is Bitcoin.
Yes.
The rest, I say you can use, if you have casino money, instead to go to the casino, invest in one altcoin. If you make money, okay, otherwise no. But firstly, the savings and also the study should go in Bitcoin.
Yeah, 100%. I'm not ashamed to say that I played the ICO game and the NFT game and the Ethereum game. And
But
I sold everything for Bitcoin back. So that was the whole goal, was to get more Bitcoin.
Of course.
Yeah. Now, I 100% agree. Like with any new technology, it's just a wild west of copycats, alternatives, and all. Like, of course, you know, so yes.
But we don't
really like it, but it's inevitable that it's there.
Also because people are playing this role. First, some, you know, they really think that crypto is a thing, but some others, I think, they know that maybe crypto is not so much, but crypto is much more cool than only Bitcoin. Like also maybe your podcast, if you discuss about crypto, you will have more people because people maybe want to know the base of Bitcoin and that's it, and then move to crypto. What I'm trying, and I think you were also trying, is to go deep into Bitcoin. And this is hard work that many people are interested. Oh, there is the new Bitcoin, there is an ICO. In 10 days, we do 100x. Okay, let's study this
exactly.
New crypto gem.
But I think that goes also back to not understanding why Bitcoin is important. And of course, that's really hard, right? Because eventually they trade for dollars, they trade for euros, and which is fine. But that's, I think, not really what the core of Bitcoin is about.
Right?
So it just shows,
you're not a trader. You cannot trade. You can, I mean, if you like trading, you can trade a small portion. But the biggest, I don't trade at all. For me, is buy and hold.
Me neither. Yes.
That's enough. 100%. It would be enough to have many people just buy and hold.
Yeah, and eventually, also there, I think is again like a really interesting, almost self-reflection lesson or a philosophical lesson in there, like. Just sitting on your hands, basically, right? Like just understanding Bitcoin more, sitting on your hands, trying to share it with others, right? Like moving from, okay, I have to acquire this asset because it's the best asset in the world, right? That's about value, that's about wealth. And then at one point, at least for me, I switched to more, so that was for me. And then I switched to more, well, hopefully the altruistic thing, like telling others, right?
Yes, like everyone should, is going on this.
Yeah, yeah. And so I love that. That's amazing, right? Like it's an asset, a thing about wealth that actually pushes you towards helping others, which again illustrates what positive impacts adopting Bitcoin could have, you know, like at least that's what I get from that.
No, true. I do the same. As I said before, now I'm less proactively. But also, we have to admit most of the people will be interested because of the prices going up. So I think also you're doing now a great job with the podcast. They will be much more seen and listened once we have the next bull run. Because now I think also your experience, everyone is experiencing with the last 18 months, people are not so much interested. And once, for me, it will be the price is going up, they start a new bull run, some will be interested, and then our role will be much more important because we have to guide these people, or at least those who want to study, to the right books, the right podcast, your podcast, and articles and videos.
I fully agree. I think it's a great moment to start this podcast, hopefully,
yes,
and eventually reach more people. So when we talk about, you know, then learning about Bitcoin, the best resources, you mentioned the Bitcoin Standard, like what are other resources you would recommend that you learned a lot from?
And now is I read also Principle of Economics from Safetyn, Price of Tomorrow, and a lot related to how the economy is working, like Economy One Lessons, how the economy works. Also, the paper money collapse. In my article, there is a link with a PDF with the videos I made in YouTube and the best article, the best books, and the best video. Also following Robert Breedlove, Michael Saylor, now Natalie Brunel, some videos. So
all right,
there are, material is there. I listed, but people should know that it takes time. As I agree with you, now it looks easy. It looks simple. And I've also, we were talking last time we were chatting in Twitter. You think I am risk adverse. That's why I'm in Bitcoin. And I think the same, but the normal person will think that we are insane. But it looks so simple. But then we have to also to reflect how much work, how much intellectual work we did to reach the level to think about this. So people need to do, there is no shortcuts. There is not orange peeling in 3 hours or 2 hours. There is making people curious, guide them. But then these people need to do the work, as the miners are doing the work to securing the network. They are consuming, they are trying to guess the number.
The number, yeah. All right. And so when we move on to the future, you talk about Bitcoin is a unique chance for our generation in the article.
Yes.
Like, why do you say that?
I think there will be nothing comparable to Bitcoin in the next 10 or 15 years. Now, in the 90s, barely no one understood internet, as I said. But now, if we say who were the smartest people in the 90s, or who were the people who benefit the most from what the time that they used to study or to research, were the people who studied internet. No other discovery or invention can be similar. The same is for us. You have, let's say, we have most of us also may have, we have also normal job. Let's say we call a fiat job, is a normal job, and then we have hobbies. And my recommendation is always to put Bitcoin as one of the hobbies, and then become one of the most relevant hobbies. You don't have to study like 10 hours per day also, because it will be too much. The brain needs time, but you need to spend the time that you will spend them. It will be a great reward later on. One thing, because Bitcoin monetary, because it will become store of value, and therefore stocks, bond, all the rest, it doesn't matter really anymore. But also second for you, your growth, you will learn about economics, you will learn about technology, maths, energy usage, so you will become a much richer person for knowledge. Nothing is comparable to Bitcoin. And the time is this decade. I think also, once you reach 400, 500,000, 800,000, then it will become store of value. For sure, it will appreciate. But the good times are gone. And this is exactly the best times are now. Because 5 years ago, it was only few people, mostly gamers or people in IT. In 10 years, it will be many people, Now it's only few. Everyone can get if he's willing to spend the time.
Yes. 100%, 100% agree. I love that. I also think that probably 2030, I talked to British Huddle. He's like, his like 2031 target is like 5 million. I think that is, it's never too late. I don't want to say it's never too late, but let's say that this, I also agree, is the prime time to actually, do the work and try to learn. And I fully agree with it, that with your point that it's a combination of probably some monetary reward, but especially you just get smarter.
You get also more knowledgeable.
You look at the world in a different way. And also you cannot unsee it once you really, really dove into this, you know. And I think it's great also how you frame it as a hobby. It's just a super interesting thing to spend time on. Two more things. One, the ETF. So I talked in another episode about the ETF. There's, I think, 6 or 7 ETF approvals. ETF is a fund, an exchange-traded traded fund that can be traded on the market, which in the Bitcoin case, the stocks, basically, let's call them stocks, or the certificates, will represent a certain amount of Bitcoin that BlackRock and these other applicants will hold. Like, what is your idea here? And I will, if you share yours, I'll share mine.
In a forecast of, I would say, to 2000, end of 2025, 250K.
All right.
We'll see. And I will be surprised if it is not at least 150K in 2 years, or in 2025. 2030, yes, it can go. If I can say, I will say at least 1 million. The thing is, there is no top, because the world never experienced an increase of demand with a finite supply. There are 16 trillion of companies value 16 trillion going after an asset, 600 billions. And on top of that, a friend of me told me that first time also a financial advisor told him about Bitcoin, first time that this financial advisor, because BlackRock, Fidelity, Invesco, they are leader in the world. So these people are listening to them.
Yes.
They move also for every financial advisor. So
this is their industry blog. This is their industry source of information, all these things.
There will be the institutional FOMO. I think there will be something huge with a finite supply, very few Bitcoin in exchanges. I would say 250 end of 2025, between 1.5 and 2 in 2030.
Interesting. I think let's touch on the finite supply point, finality of supply. Also, you can say that, or final scarcity, finite scarcity.
Absolute scarcity also.
Right? Absolute scarcity, or all these words. It's kind of all the same. British Huddle in the first episode of the podcast also talks about this. I think I'm a bit more bullish, and I'll explain why.
Yes.
I don't think anyone really understands what this finite supply means, right? Yeah. So finite supply, there will only be 21 million Bitcoin. There's actually like 4-ish million lost, so it will be 17 million. We don't understand this, right? So if you look at the gold rush, that is not a final supply. There's still gold, right? People went into the ground and got more gold out. And so we just don't understand it. That's my...
Yeah, yes.
My base argument for this is no one has a clue what is going to happen. I think, and I agree with you, ETF approval means there's a green light for Bitcoin as an asset. Bitcoin is a legitimate asset and store of value. I think that's the same thing in this context. So anyone whose job it is, or anyone who's interested in preserving or growing wealth, will want to buy this. And that's where I think the ETF approval is the starting gun of the great accumulation race.
Yes,
I called it
the big bull run.
Yes. Well, no, accumulation race. Yeah. So people. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So people want to have it. This is the gold rush moment. The light turns green, okay, sure. and it's a go. This is where the game theory part kicks in, because you do not want to be last. The companies thinking about this, studying this, the companies who are already moving into this. I saw it was Oman. Is
yes,
building
or Bitcoin mining.
A mining 1 billion investment. So anyone who's even remotely thinking about this, and maybe it'll take a little time, but at one point the supply on exchanges will go down, and then it really kicks in, I think. Yep. And anyone who buys it won't sell. Perhaps at a certain point, perhaps you and I sell at 1 million to pay for a house and something, yeah, and whatever, right? But any new buyer at that point will understand what they buy, and they will also understand that they should never sell it, right? So the exchange supply goes down.
Yeah, I'm not 100% agree. The new buyer, I think they will be likely also to sell after 2 weeks.
Of course,
4 weeks,
it goes,
5 weeks.
Of course, there's a cadence.
But then
it goes
they will
up
rebuy
and down.
Again.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. So we move up. It's like
we
a ladder.
Yes,
a step,
yes.
steps up. But I do think it will be quick, because once the word is out and people understand, and I don't want to, like, people understand, like, it's just clear what it is. Then again, anyone thinking about it will want to move into it. So anything that is for sale will be bought.
Yep. Agree.
On the way up, right? Holder supply, hodler, what they say, hodler, right? The people that are not selling will go up, and there won't be any Bitcoin left to buy except for the daily supply eventually. And I think we will be there before 2030. And so I think 500K real quick,
yep,
in
okay.
a sense that if everyone piles on, and the more the price goes up, I think the less people will actually sell, because that will reinstate the actual value of this thing.
The conviction.
And so that's what I think. Yeah, but conviction, but also understanding.
Listen.
Like I, because the price goes up, and apparently other people are willing to pay X amount, 120,000 for Bitcoin. Holy shit! Is this what I'm holding?
Yes.
If it's 120, like I know. If this gets to 100, it will get to 1 million,
yes,
and it
same.
Will get to 10 million. I know. I like, for me, 100K is the goalpost, and I don't need to know more.
Same,
if it's 100K, never, ever, I'm already never selling, but 100K is my conviction point. Then I know that it will be 10 million or even more, because then it's just a clear signal.
I think the same, exactly. Once we reach, in my article, I also write gradually and then suddenly. Suddenly, mm-hmm. now we have the phase gradually, and is the you have time to learn, to study, but later it will be the suddenly, and people
yeah.
will and will increase the understanding, and we will, as Bitcoiner, we will all become smarter. People will start to think, oh, but this guy was saying this when Bitcoin was at 15-20k, and for sure
yeah.
they will go to your podcast, maybe they will read my article, because they will be a sign, and I agree
yeah.
that Bitcoin ETF it will be the green light, and
but
also,
they will need to know. That's the whole thing. It's not even like oh this is interesting, let's read about it. No, you need to know. This is the modern day gold rush, and that
yes.
sounds very fiaty and also like
no,
money driven, but that's not what I mean.
It's psychology of the human.
Yes, it's about wow, this is a new thing,
but,
and I need to understand it,
but
right,
yes,
yeah,
actually also putting in the other position of the others, we are saying so many things, but in the last 16 months it went from 69 to 15 and now 25, so people, it's also legitimate if you didn't study to doubt
of
or
course.
To challenge what
yeah.
we are saying you are saying 2 million. Imagine a person who is not understanding Bitcoin, you think okay, this it could be.
Yeah, you're an idiot.
Month.
Of course.
Yes. Like,
makes total sense.
I also say 500K or 1 million. And for me, when they ask me, at which price will you sell? Or when will you sell? And my reply is always, selling for what? Like asking a Bitcoin to selling Bitcoin. Or you sell, as you said, for an asset. if you want to buy a house or you like a motorbike at this point of time, car, then you should sell at one point. But asking to sell for euro, dollars, or anything else, or stocks or bonds, is like asking a owner of a house in US asking to sell the house in Bolivar or in Venezuela, the currency of Venezuela. They will say, no way.
Yeah,
but they don't
everything
understand
is inferior.
Us.
You do not trade it for anything inferior. Yeah,
I'm not stupid.
Yeah, I 100% agree. All right, that's I think that's a good ending segment. Then my last question I ask everyone: what's a core belief that you will never let go?
A core belief? Related to Bitcoin.
Whatever.
I can say that changing the monetary system is now my core belief is the biggest, the most important challenge of our generation. And this will not change.
All right, man. Thanks so much for being on. I loved it.
Same. And, it was
Great to talk. And where can people follow you or find you? I will link in to everything, obviously.
Yes, in Twitter, Alex Otta BTC. And then I have also a YouTube channel where I have like 70 plus videos explaining Bitcoin. And on this, I'm counting when people will be interested. Thanks to the price going up, they will. I will share much more my videos in order to guide the people through understanding Bitcoin.
Awesome, man. Thanks so much again, and let's keep in touch.
Thank you, Bram. Appreciate it. And keep going with the job. Great job. Bye.
Thank you. Cheers.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, it would be amazing if you could rate, review, and subscribe on the podcast platform of your choice. It will help us educate more millennials on the importance of Bitcoin. You can follow and connect with me on Twitter. I'm Bram K. That's at BRAMK. And if you are or know someone who has an interesting perspective on Bitcoin that's worth sharing, hit me up. I read and reply to every single message. I appreciate your support and hope you'll be here for the next episode. Thanks for listening. Bye.